Good morning, everyone. We begin once again with the economy. But down in Washington, it was an economic casting call as Barack Obama announced his senior economic advisors.
The way to think about it is short term, we've got to focus on boosting the economy and creating 2.5 million jobs. But part and parcel of that is a plan for a sustainable fiscal situation long term. And that's going to require some reforms in Washington.
A short-term boost of the economy, it certainly caused a boost in the markets as the reaction to the Treasury Secretary-designate, Timothy Geithner, who's now the Federal Reserve President in the bank, Federal Reserve Bank of New York. It was positive all day yesterday, but the question is, how short-term is this policy plan, and can anything really happen before the inauguration on the 20th of January? Joining us to talk about the scale of what looks like a very substantial stimulus program that the Democrats, led by Barack Obama, are going to propose very, very soon is Jim Ellis, Assistant Managing Editor at Business Week. And we also invited you in here, Jim, to talk about this cast of characters that are going to be advising the new president. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
First of all, we've heard $700 billion, $800 billion in the discussion of the financial rescue package. And in that case, you know, you're pumping money into the economy, and the metaphor sort of works there. But when you're talking about a stimulus package on the order of, some Democrats were saying, $700 billion, 5% of GDP, that is a more targeted and nuanced kind of program, and it also doesn't work very short term. Do you see a short term stimulus package in anything that's been discussed so far?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, we're basically going to see a jobs program. There's no question of that. I mean, when it happens, it's going to probably be through infrastructure spending, which has a pretty good multiplier effect. I mean, it throws a fair bit of money immediately into things like construction equipment, construction workers' salaries, and more importantly, all the materials that you use for roads and bridges and things like that. So it's a fairly traditional way to pump money in fairly quickly and to get it to people as opposed to programs that take a long time to get going. The problem, of course, is that it's a fairly expensive way to do things, and while it is somewhat more targeted than just saying we're going to prop up the banking system, it's still a lot of money for an economy that's already looking at possibly a $1 trillion deficit next year.
What's the management question of something like that? I mean, you have to decide which projects to do, which level of government is going to receive the funding, hire contractors. It doesn't seem like it happens that quickly.
Well, one of the nice things is that a lot of these programs that will be funded are actually done at the state and local level, and a lot of state and local governments don't have money to put through infrastructure projects they'd already like to do. They've had to cut back, too, because their budgets are going down. And so identifying projects, especially roads and bridges at the local and state level, won't be that difficult to do. And so it's not as tough to do simply because we have done this type of stimulus program before.
Given the last 8 years of the Republicans in the White House, are the mechanisms still in place for easily transferring large sums of money from the federal government to the states to manage this sort of infrastructure program?
Well, given what we've gone through over the last few months with the sort of massive transfers that the Fed has been able to engineer into the banking system, I think that a lot of us have been pleasantly surprised at the government's ability to actually, you know, sort of spend a hell of a lot of taxpayers' money very quickly.
Yes. Yes, they're good spenders there in Washington. Joining us now is Patty O'Connell, Patrick O'Connell, or Patty, as we like to call him. He's a BBC presenter and host and our frequent guest here on the program. Patty, thanks for joining us.
John, thanks for having me.
They're talking about stimulus packages across the pond over there. What is the outline of the plan that was announced yesterday, and how much of it is taxes and how much of it is direct spending?
Yes. Well, you were waiting for your details tomorrow. We had ours yesterday. Here are the headlines. We're borrowing like we've never borrowed in peacetime before, 1% of our GDP. We're going to spend some of that on motorways, housing, and schools, like you were just talking about. We're going to cut sales tax. Here we call it value-added tax. You have a statewide, and sometimes I understand some states waive it, but we have a 17.5% sales tax, VAT. That's going to be cut to 15%. Then we're also going to tell the banks and building societies to give hard-pressed homeowners 3 months before going to get them out of their homes. That's how bad things have become. Also, in 2011, we're going to put up the top rate of tax to 45% from 40% for people earning over £150,000. So If I can sum it up, John, it's buy now, pay later. Borrow massively now. It's a gamble. Will it work? It's the debate we're having here.
Well, it's interesting, Jim Ellis, the Brits and the Europeans largely have a lever that the United States doesn't really have by being able to lower that VAT, which instantly lowers prices across the board for retailers. Do we need a lever like that in this economy, and would it be quicker to just lower taxes in the U.S. as a stimulus?
The danger with lowering taxes here is that so because of the economic stress we also have in the housing market, where lots of people have effectively seen their piggy bank go away, it means that a lot of people might not spend the money. That's what we already saw with the stimulus payments that we had on taxes last year. A lot of people just took that as a way to lower their debt. And one of the things we need right now is to pump more money through the system, not to have people sit on it.
And so money that becomes jobs is more likely to be spent. Money in the form of taxes is more likely to be saved or used to pay down debt.
At least that's been the experience right. That we had with the first stimulus payment.
Patty, you know, you're used to the Chancellor of the Exchequer over there in Britain managing the economy. Does it seem odd to you to have this enormously large cast of characters in the United States that Barack Obama is trotting out?
No, I mean, I was a Wall Street correspondent in the U.S., and, you know, fans of your country say that the state system and a federal government is one of its strengths. Also, as we know, it can be one of its weaknesses, the pork barrel politics, the who on earth is in charge of this. And if Barack Obama has the right mandate, he can get these people in January and say, I am in charge, and this is what we're going to do. And if enough people will follow him, he can do a stimulus package. That is a separate question from will it work, because it's like the horror film where you're in the car, you're turning the ignition key, and the beast is bearing down. You've got to get that engine started. Everyone agrees. And people have gone back in time to the economists who said, look, if you want to start your economy, drop money from helicopters. That's when you know it's serious. And ultimately, we are looking at the biggest economic change in my lifetime. There's never been anything like this in Britain, not borrowing on this scale. And this will change our politics.
Patty, I'm at a loss for the movie. There's money dropping from helicopters, and they're trying to start their car, and a monster is coming down the road. The movie just escapes me for a second. Jim Ellis, is there a sense that the economic team of Barack Obama is coalescing, as Patty is suggesting, around a mandate? And if then there is such a mandate, is it coalescing around a particular economic dogma? Is there a person in the administration who looks to be the sort of guru, like Arthur Laffer was on supply-side economics, or Milton Friedman, or Keynes, or any number of economists?
I think because, you know, Obama is walking into a crisis situation, he has a little less time to worry about looking for that economic guru, and he has instead a lot of fires to put out immediately. And so therefore, even though he's the candidate of change, he has looked for continuity in the people that he's chosen for this. I mean, choosing Tim Geithner was a real sort of push to grab someone who's already in the thick of this. I mean, Geithner had been responsible for he was the point man for the Fed in the AIG bailout, in the Lehman thing, the Bear Stearns thing.
Some people say on Lehman, he was the one who said save Lehman.
I mean,
that's the scuttlebutt.
He's a smart guy. He's also, I mean, you know, as Fed presidents go, that is the most important one. Mm. He's the person that they want the continuity there. They've also gone back to Larry Summers at the National Economic Council. Larry Summers was a former Treasury Secretary and is a very smart man.
To both of you, before we go, Patty, do you think it's safe to say that the economic dogma at this point, and it's a little early, looks like save the banks first, worry about Main Street second? That's what's emerging here, Patty, and then Jim?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, they've tried to save the banks. The problem we've got is that the banks won't always be lending that money. They're keeping hold of it. So we've got a small window of opportunity here to stop the economy going down. And there's one piece of information here which I'll give you, which is that our government is predicting that growth starts again within 1 year. And their critics say they're over-optimistic.
All right. Jim, you want to take the last word?
Yeah, I mean, basically what we've got is the banks have gotten quite a bailout so far and still been unable able to lend.
Right. So but freeing up that money is really the key.
Freeing up the money for people is a bigger issue right now.
And there's going to be more details about that today. The Fed apparently is going to guarantee credit card lending or get involved in that in some way. Jim Ellis, Assistant Managing Editor at Business Week, thanks so much for joining us. And Patty O'Connell, thanks so much. BBC presenter and host on a landline there from London. Thanks, Patty.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.